Alan Mitchell. He is the host of the Lowdown with Low Tide right here on TSN 1260, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. till noon. You can also read his writing at The Athletic. Al, how you doing today?
I'm good. It's Friday. I don't know if anybody told you this or not, but it's Friday, Connor.
It is Friday. We're almost there, about 25 minutes till Hernan and I can head out. You did 4 hours of radio today, so you put in your time, and now you're working overtime. So thank you for doing this.
Well, this is sort of visiting, so I don't consider this work.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, that's how I look at it, too. But only one of us is getting paid for it, so... Al, we talked about it in five questions, and this segment is brought to you by McDonald's. I don't know if you saw the announcement today, but they're bringing an item back on, I believe, Tuesday that's been gone for a little while. Like, I'm hoping it's pizza. Hernan was hoping it's the McDLT. Is there an old McDonald's item that you want to be, you know, consuming starting on next Wednesday?
I'd love the McRib back. I love that thing.
You were a McRib guy, hey?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Here's the thing. I love Big Macs. I love Quarter Pounders. And I like to rotate the McRib in. And it went away. And I was sad. I remember all the products and all of the fast foods in the history of the world that are no longer here. But I did like the McRib. I did indeed.
The vast history of McDonald's having these special products and, you know, food items that they brought back. And, like, they could do this every month, bring back something from the past just to keep us happy. Like, people are saying the orange drink. People about, like, the apple pies. Like, there's just so much stuff they could bring back. The chocolate vanilla swirl ice cream.
Do you know how many times I burned myself with that gorgeous apple pie thing?
Countless.
Man, that was good stuff there.
Al, one other thing we're talking about on the show today, and we're getting a lot of positive feedback. We're asking people, what's your NFL team, and what's the backstory? Why did you become a fan of that team? For me, it's Doug Flutie with the Chargers. Hernan, he liked the team. He liked the colors with the San Francisco 49ers. You're an Eagles fan. What is the backstory? What's the origin story behind Alan Mitchell cheering on the Eagles?
Well, this is going back early 70s, and back then the NFL didn't come on the television until like the Sunday after the Grey Cup game. It was all CFL, and then mid-season you'd pick up NFL. And they showed two divisions, the Green Bay-Minnesota Viking division, and then the AFC East. And I quickly learned not to like the Cowboys, and the Giants were kind of boring. But there's two things about the Philadelphia Eagles that I really liked. Number one was their helmets. At the time, they were not the ones that they have now. They were really different. They were white with a red, what we assume was an eagle wing. And then they were sort of similar to the Vikings logo or helmet. And then they had a wide receiver named Harold Carmichael. And Carmichael just went into the Hall of Fame, which is fantastic. But he was a great receiver. He ran great routes, but he was also very tall. He could hurdle people. And he was so exciting. Like, he was just an exciting player to watch. So whenever the Eagles were on, and I would just watch and wait for Harold Carmichael to catch the ball and then watch what he'd do. And so that's when I became a fan of the NFL over time. And then the Eagles specifically was because of Harold Carmichael.
And they haven't let you down since.
No, every year.
Got a Super Bowl?
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you, I never thought it would happen. I know I won't get another one, so I'm just happy that I hung around to get one. I never expected it, and it wasn't even, I don't even think that the team that won it was the best Eagles team. The Donovan McNabb team that went to the Super Bowl, for me, was the best Eagles team ever. But that's okay. I don't care. None of it matters. They won.
Exactly.
That's my dog.
Yeah. Oh, welcome to the show. Her and I also, like, we want to get a little Oilers conversation in on this show. This is around the NHL. So looking at the team going into next season, obviously we'll say, what, 97% complete. Maybe there's a PTO, but Kyler Yamamoto still has to reach that contract, obviously an RFA. Are you surprised we're heading into September? Heading into September and still no deal for Kyler?
Well, I think what's happened is that Ken Holland is the new GM, and he structures his offseason in a certain way. Ethan Bear got caught in this a little bit a year ago, and I just don't like the Edmonton Oilers. They did it with Dylan Holloway. They didn't give him the extra year so he could burn off a year and play a couple of games, and they didn't do it with Ethan Bear, and I don't think they're going to do it with Kyler Yamamoto. There's very little time for an NHL team where they have control over the player and they can impose their will on him. And I think that added to the fact that Yamamoto didn't score much in the second half of the year means that he's going to get a contract probably 1 or 2 years that's going to be well less than what I or many other people thought. The Oilers are not hardball, but they are. Ken Holland is a far more difficult GM when he has control to deal with than somebody like Peter Chiarelli was.
So when do you think we get this deal done, and what do you think it looks like looking into your crystal ball?
Well, I think it could be like $1.5 million times one, or maybe 2 years at a little more than that. But I'd estimated it would be around $2 million times two. I don't think it's going to get that high, and it could be lower because the Bear contract I think was 2 years times two, and Bear had a pretty darn nice year, so it could be lower than the Bear deal. And the other thing is that. You know, it's just the nature of the beast when you don't have. I like Yamamoto a lot as a player, and I think it was a really, really good draft pick. It was inspired to take him where they got him, 22 overall. But he didn't have a good back half of this year, and that does impact negotiations. And I think that it's going to cost him some dollars here. But I think they'll get it done. We're what, 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away, sometime in the next 10 days, I would say.
Alan Mitchell joining us here on the Jason Greger Show, the host of The Lowdown with Low Tide on TSN 1260 Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. until noon. And the one thing I do look at, because I don't necessarily think I have him locked in as that number two right wing. I think there is a potential for him to fall down the lineup, especially if the production isn't there on 5-on-5. Do you think there's any risk there for him, like signing a one-year deal? And, you know, it could go both ways, I guess. He could have a career year and he gets a nice deal, or potentially does what he did last year. And, you know, tenacious as he is, he's always noticeable out there, but not putting up the points. And then maybe he's hurting himself. Like, it seems like it could be a very make-or-break contract any year for Kyler Yamamoto.
Yeah, and it's a position that's in transition too. The Oilers, you know, they signed Zach Hyman as a left winger, but he could easily go to the right side. Puljujarvi looks like he's absolutely established himself as one of the top right wingers. We don't know what line he'll play on, but you know, I think he'll end up on the McDavid line. We'll see. Yamamoto was very effective with Draisaitl, but they have other options now, and there's always going to be that sense that maybe they can slide Zach Cassian back there and use him and increase the talent base of the top three lines. So there's competition there. It's good competition. The Oilers have also drafted several players not ready yet, but could be in the coming couple of years. So the pressure will be on Yamamoto. I just think he's a really talented guy, and if he's healthy, he's going to have another good year. So my preference would be a two-year deal because I think he'll be expensive when they have to sign him again.
Al, just one more question for you today. Jack Eichel kind of stealing the headlines today. It looks like he's changing agents. Not too sure, you know, how that's going to necessarily impact his trade value or try to force the Buffalo Sabres' hand. But do you think we see a deal within the next couple of weeks, maybe the next month? And if so, which team do you think should be making that phone call?
I'm not sure. It's a tough deal to make this close to the training camp. I think a team like Calgary might be interested, but they don't know what his health is, and from the player point of view, he has suggested he'd like to have a procedure which would delay his return. So that's complicating the issues. The other thing is, you know, I get the sense, and this does happen in sports, that the owner has just decided that he's going to have his superstar cool as jets. There's been a fracture in the relationship, and one thing, you know, I think when you own a major league franchise, you're probably a little bit, you know, interested in power and maybe enjoy that side of it. And my suspicion is that the Sabres ownership might just have decided they're going to let Eichel sit for a while. He wants to have a surgery. From what we can tell, the organization doesn't agree with that. So I don't think the new agent can restore the relationship, I think that's done. But I also think that unless the owner has a change of heart, and maybe this agent has a way to make that relationship work where the previous agents did not, then I think Eichel might be sitting for several months, maybe even till Christmas or after. But I hope it gets done, because I think he's a really talented guy, and Buffalo is a mess and has been for a long time. So punishing Jack Eichel doesn't improve their reputation at all.
It really doesn't. Al, thank you for doing this. I appreciate
it. No problem at all. I now there's no evening show that'll be calling me, right? Like, I'm done for the day.
Well, I mean, I know ESPN likes to give you a call every once in a while, so maybe Sarah Spain might reach out, but I think you're done.
Okay, I'm having a beer, so that's where I'm going.
Al, have two.
I think I will. What the hell?
We'll talk to you later. Thanks, Al.
Hey, have a great weekend, guys.
You too.